Good morning. How good it is to be in the beauty and quiet of this place. It is wonderful to gather in a spirit of worship always. A special welcome to those of you who might be visiting with us, and in particular those who are here with us for the first time. We always like to extend a special welcome. If you are interested in learning more about us, or if you would like us to keep in touch, there are cards at either end of your pew that you can fill out and drop them in the basket on your way out to the right of the doors in the back, again, so that we can keep in touch and say hello. And I trust that all of you know that whether visitor or regular, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So a welcome to all. It is, if you can believe it, already the fourth Sunday of our Advent season, the day when we celebrate and lift up the Advent gift of peace. And it is a spirit of peace that we pray is greeting you this morning and will abide with you throughout our worship today. As always, I do have a few announcements to share before we enter into our worship this morning. The first of which is about our new member informational gathering happening after this service in the library. So after our service this morning, if you're interested in learning more information, there's no arm twisting or signing on any lines. It's just if you're interested in learning more about St. John's, please feel free to attend that small gathering in the library after our service. We would be you are most welcome. We have quite a few worship opportunities in the next week or so, so I want to make you aware of some of those. On the back of your bulletins this morning, there is another reminder about our longest night service. This is a new worship opportunity for St. John's, but it's a tradition that many other churches do in our area, but something very important, and particularly the year that we have had together. So we want to invite you to that, so please read the back of this to get a little bit more information about what will unfold on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday comes Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, there will be two opportunities to worship with us. Both of those are listed in the calendar in the back of your bulletin. We have a 5 o'clock option and then also an 11 o'clock option. Communion will be offered at the later service, not at the early service. The children's choir will be at the early service. The later service will include some more music. So again, more details about that are in the bulletin. And then I also want to draw special attention to Christmas Day, which is a Sunday this year, as I've shared before, and there's more information in your bulletin as well. But there will not be an in-person service on that Sunday, Christmas Day. We will have a pre-recorded virtual service available beginning at 9 o'clock online and then available anytime after it premieres at 9. So you can watch it with your family at home, wherever you find yourself on Christmas Day, any time after 9 a.m. We spent some time this past week celebrating Christmas in the chancel with Dale and Andrew and I, so that is already well underway being recorded, and I think it will be a meaningful worship experience wherever you find yourself. So we look forward to that. And for the last announcement, I'm going to invite Liz Vanderberg forward.
Good morning. Chris Bodie, our financial administrator, is retiring at the end of December. Chris started as the church admin during 2010 and served with distinction in that role through 2016. In September of that year, she proposed to the personnel committee that the admin and finance positions be split to allow the financial role to be done on a part-time basis. That proposal was accepted, which allowed Chris to retire from the full-time position and begin the part-time finance-only position in October of that year. We then were fortunate to be able to hire Lisa Delp into the full-time admin role, and St. John's has reaped the benefits of having both Chris and Lisa ever since. Chris has done an incredible job in the finance role, and she will be greatly missed. To replace Chris, we've selected Barbara McIntosh. She started early in December and is training alongside Chris this month. Barbara has a wealth of education and experience and comes to us thanks to a recommendation from Lisa. She will be reporting to the Finance Committee Chair, Grace Bruin. Please join us in congratulating Chris on her well-earned retirement and also in welcoming Barbara to the St. John's family. We're working on plans to celebrate with Chris on January 8th, so please stay tuned for the details.
Yes, a very well-deserved round of applause. All right, lots of information and dates and times and all sorts of things in our minds, but I'm going to invite you to file those away somewhere just for the time being. And I'm going to invite you, as always, to join me in taking a deep and slow breath. Remembering that as we breathe in, we are breathing in God's Spirit that surrounds us, that fills each one of us as we worship. And as we exhale, we are reminded that we exhale and set aside all the things that are busying our minds and our hearts as we focus our hearts and our minds and our voices in this present time and place to worship God.
Christ is coming. The Prince of Peace is coming into the world with love and power. Come, O long-expected Jesus. Come to us and bring us peace. Come to release us from our fears and struggles. Come, Lord Jesus, and make us whole along with your ailing and aching world. Peace is the power that overcomes violence, the absence of warfare and strife. We yearn for this kind of peace, a world in which harmony and justice prevail. We long for inner peace as well. Come, O long-expected Jesus. Come and show us the way toward wholeness. Fill our hearts with the kind of peace that makes us more patient, more open, more serving, and more loving. Come, Lord Jesus, bring us the peace we need. Let us together confess our sins. God, you are here, surrounding us always with your listening ear and gracious heart. We talk a lot about peace and often assume it's the other person or the other country or the other group that needs to change. We say to ourselves, if only they would change, thereby taking ourselves off the hook, avoiding the work of becoming peacemakers ourselves. God, we confess that we are much better at simply demanding peace of others rather than finding the peace we need to become faithful witnesses in the work of building trust, cooperation, and seeking the welfare of the larger community. Remind us that peace is more than simply law and order, and that we have been called to a higher place, a place in which the commonwealth of humanity is served, health is restored, and new friendships formed. Lord God, help us become that kind of peacemaker. Amen.
Friends, when we dare to confess our sins, when we dare to claim our mistakes and to ask for God's help, peace is restored within us, around us. We are forgiven. May we claim that gift this day, along with the gift of peace and joy and hope and love that comes to us and stays with us. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We have been reading from the book of Isaiah for quite a few weeks now as we read passages that are signs of what is to come in the New Testament. This reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread, will be deserted. And our gospel reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And notice how this version of the Christmas story focuses in on Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken to them by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. I'm going to invite any children up front to join me for our message. I have a few things I want to show you. Come on up. Got Gwen and Carolyn and Izzy. We're getting crowded out up here with all these poinsettias, which are so beautiful, but we'll have to claim some space on the steps this morning, I think. All right. Everybody's dressed in their red this morning. I love it. Okay, well, let me ask you, have you ever had to change plans, like at the last minute? Yeah, maybe you're doing something and all of a sudden the weather changes and you have to do something else. I was thinking of our Montessori school kids over here. I hear them outside on the playground, and when it starts raining, they have to come inside, right? Or maybe they're planning a certain activity, or maybe you're planning an activity for the day, and all of a sudden something comes up and you gotta take a detour. Have you ever heard that word, detour? Well, I have some signs today. Our scriptures talk a lot about signs, and I don't think they're talking about these kinds of signs, but this is what I thought of. Detour ahead. Now, I know you guys don't drive, but when you see this sign, it's not a good sign. Detour ahead, right? And then how about this one? Road closed. Uh-oh. And then there's this one that we all know. Stop. Right? Now, I don't think these are the signs that our scriptures are talking about, but they do have to do with our scripture reading today and kind of what Advent is all about. You see, I'm especially drawn to this one that says detour ahead. Now, in our scripture reading, we just heard about Joseph, right, who is Jesus' father. And both Joseph and Mary, actually a lot of people in the Christmas story, they had to change plans pretty quickly. They kind of hit these detour ahead signs, right? God put them in their path, and they had to listen to God and take a detour. They had to change direction. They had to really quick change plans. And now, is it always easy to change plans? No. Why is it hard to change plans? What makes it so hard? Were you looking forward to what you were going to do? So it kind of is a bummer sometimes. And sometimes you aren't prepared, right? Maybe you're wearing a dress and all of a sudden you have to change plans and you're going outside for recess and you're like, "I didn't bring my sneakers," right? Sometimes you're not prepared, so that makes it difficult. But the good news, and in our scripture reading what we learn, is that Mary and Joseph, the wise men, all of these people listened to God, even when they saw their detour ahead sign, and they changed plans. And guess what? Sometimes when you take a detour, the way that you end up going is even better than the way you had planned. Some of the best, like, back roads I've learned when I'm driving is because I hit a road closed sign, and you have to change direction. So next time you're doing something and something comes up and you have to change plans, You can be bummed about it. You can be disappointed and you can feel unprepared, but let's also keep that hope that maybe the detour will take us somewhere new and wonderful, okay? Just like it did for Mary and Joseph, because without them taking a detour and stopping and listening to God, we wouldn't have Jesus, right? And that's a pretty big gift. So let's say our prayer together and then we'll end in saying the Lord's Prayer. Loving God, even though they can scare us and frustrate us and throw us for a loop, we are grateful for all the detours in our life. Help us to pay attention and to listen for you whenever our plans need to change. Help us to be flexible and help us to see the gift that can lie ahead in a path we have not taken yet. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you all.
Good morning, congregation.
Good morning.
It's great to look out and to see you all. We're really glad you're here, and we're really glad that we're together. I want to tell you a little bit about the state of California. Do you know that back in the 1600s, California, on maps, was drawn as an island out in the Pacific? So there was this cartographer, map maker named Henry Briggs, and he located the state of California as an island. Now, some people think California is an island. Once Briggs put California on his map as an island, other map makers just picked up the idea. If Henry Briggs has California as an island, I guess I need to have California as an island on my map. This is in the 1600s. Now, the funny thing is that 50 years earlier, map makers had California as part of the continent. So pervasive was this idea that California was an island that in 1747, King Ferdinand VII of Spain had to issue a decree. No! California is not an island. The late rabbi, Edwin Friedman. He was a family therapist. He was a leadership consultant. And he was an expert in what we call family systems. He used this idea, this example of California being described and mapped as an island, as an illustration of how a whole society can get stuck in a particular way of thinking, even when there is evidence to the contrary. Friedman's argument is that people, families, countries, systems get stuck in their beliefs and their habits because of anxiety. There's something about anxiety that makes us suddenly cling to the rules. It has us automatically seeking safety and security. It has us going to what is familiar, even if it is not correct or helpful. Anxiety, and we all know what it's like, we've all felt it rising up within us. Anxiety has a way of hijacking our calmness, our peace, our openness. It has a way of shutting down our adventuresome spirit, our curiosity. When we're anxious, we like to lock down. We get into the box of right, wrong, black, white, either or. And we lose the ability to ask deep questions, to ponder, to reflect. When we're anxious, we are driven to hit the brakes, shut down the options, hunker down, and play it safe. After all, when we're anxious and afraid, that's really helpful if you're in, you know, a prehistoric environment where your survival counts. Anxiety, it has its place. It has a purpose. It's a warning system. When Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, discovered that Mary, the woman he was engaged to marry, was pregnant, he could have gone directly to the option of hitting the brakes, shutting down the options, and play it safe. He could have reported Mary as one who betrayed his honor. He could have, according to religious custom and law, had her stoned to death. But Joseph was not anxious. He did not think in binary terms. Instead, he thought creatively. He pondered. He wrestled. He reflected. And he decided that he would very quietly, without any disturbance or noise, divorce Mary. He didn't want Mary to get hurt. So he would discreetly divorce her and just move on. After all, he did not think this child was his child. There is a reason why Joseph and Mary became Jesus' earthly parents. In the midst of so much to be anxious about, Joseph and Mary did not allow themselves to be hijacked by the anxiety around them or within them. And this allowed Joseph, for example, to be open to the movement of God. You see, when you're anxious, you're not thinking straight. You're not open to much. You're probably not open to anything because you're so focused on yourself. However, Joseph being open, being calm, allowed a divine message to be spoken and heard, a divine insight. this divine presence speaking to Joseph. That divine presence, God spoke to Joseph in the same way it had spoken to so many who came before him and to so many who came after him. These words from the divine, they're very simple words. Do not be afraid. Don't panic. Don't be anxious. Keep yourself open. Keep your spirit tuned to me, says God. It was that message that led Joseph to change course, to take the detour, and marry Mary. Sometimes people say to me, and they've been saying this to me for years and years as a pastor, and they will say to me, Dale, I never hear God speaking to me. These people say they believe that God spoke to Joseph, spoke to Moses, spoke to Ruth, spoke to Mary, spoke to several characters in the Bible, but never to them. I believe God does speak in the now, in the present. And I believe that God speaks to people like you and me. But if we're too anxious, if we're too self-preoccupied, if we're fretting and fearing, and if we're not willing to wait, to listen, to be open, and to let go, then there is little possibility that you will hear God. You see, the longer I live, the more that I sense that God does not speak like a clanging cymbal or a big bass drum. God does not speak like a bunch of blaring trumpets. And I know that for me, God has not chosen to rant and rave as a way to communicate with me. But when I'm present, when I'm open, when I'm not anxious, this holy voice emerges. There's a divine subtlety when God speaks. That still, quiet voice. One that allows us to move beyond the ruts and the rules and the regulations. Joseph broke He broke ranks with the rules, the regulations, the law, the standard way of approaching a situation that must have come to him as an initial shock. This holy disruption, this faith disruption. And so Joseph, rather than staying in the prescribed lane of traffic, well, he crossed the center line. And then something amazing unfolded. Now, this may seem like a very silly example, but for years, I would walk down to our local YMCA. It's a 10-minute walk from my house. And the road that the YMCA is located on, well, it's a little bit of a curvy road. Actually, it's a Pennsylvania road. Yeah, you know those kind of roads. Have you ever noticed how many double yellow lines there are in Pennsylvania? I'm just saying. Or no line at all. But this road has a curve at the top and has this double yellow line right down the middle. And the law says you shouldn't cross that line. But when I was walking to the YMCA all those years, I was so grateful that when a car came up behind me, that it would veer off to the left and go around me, crossing that yellow line to keep me safe. Because I can tell you, there were many walks to the YMCA where I actually had to run off the road because the car was barreling that fast. I think that Joseph did that for Mary. He crossed the double yellow line, and he married her. And they had a son. And they named him Jesus. And because of Joseph crossing the line, you and I now have this safety and security, this God of peace, this God who says, "Do not fear." And I think that is incredibly good news. Amen.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, we, as always, have some joys and concerns that have been shared with us in our book throughout the week. Our first joy, you may remember that last week we prayed as a concern for Rocco, who is a young neighbor of the Hogan family. She let me know this morning that a joy now, he is home from CHOP and recovering well. So we rejoice with Rocco's family. We also have a joy and kind of a concern. We were informed this week Charles Snyder, who is the son of Jerry and Mary Ellen Snyder, was in the hospital for 35 days, which is a concern, but he was released this past week, so we are continuing to give thanks for that and continuing our prayers of healing for him. Some concerns to lift up. Edna McGinley is back at Lansdale Hospital, so we continue to surround her with prayers of peace and comfort and healing. Sue Rother, who is a regular at our 8 o'clock service, informed me this morning that her mother, Anna, passed away early this morning. So our prayers surround Sue and her sister, Barb, as they move forward with some plans and, of course, mourn their mother's passing. And also we lift Alan Johnston in our prayers, who is dealing with some health concerns, and we pray for him and for Judy, who is caring for him. Bearing in mind, of course, that we all come to this time of prayer with our own joys and concerns and worries and fears and excitements, I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. God of peace, we come to you this day in a moment of pause from a busy week. Perhaps we have gotten caught up in the hustle and bustle. Perhaps we are watching from a distance. Either way, it is undeniable that our world gets swept away in a tidal wave of busyness and anxiety and doing this time of year. As we continue this Advent journey, help us to focus on you and the coming of your Son, Jesus. Remind us that Jesus will be born despite our lack of preparation. Even if our to-do lists aren't fully checked off, even if the gifts aren't purchased, in order to feel the peace that is born among us with baby Jesus, we need only to be, not do. So God, amidst the commercials and the cooking and the company, help us to remember to tune in to the heart of this season. We are mindful, O God, of those for whom joy is hard to find. Hope feels distant, love feels far away, and peace is a dream, not a reality. Help us, O God, to be sources of hope and love and joy and peace, always mindful of the needs of others, reaching out to be a light in the darkness. We keep in mind, O God, and rejoice with Rocco, with Charles and Jerry and Mary Ellen, and we pray for your continued presence of healing in their lives. God, we ask that you surround Edna, Sue and Barb, Alan and Judy. Be a source of comfort, strength, patience, and perseverance. And God, we take a moment now to lift up all who are in need of a reminder of your presence, either in joy or in concern. Hear our prayers, O God. May the peace that we celebrate and seek not be something that we hoard and keep for ourselves, but a gift to be shared with one another. We thank you, O God, for your presence among us, for your creation around us, for your Spirit within us. Be close to us this day as we continue on this blessed journey, moving closer and closer to the birth of your Son, for whom we wait. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. We have an opportunity now to share and sing in our doxology, to invite our gifts that we have shared to come forward, that we might lift them up to God and dedicate them to the use of God's work in the world. So rise and join me in singing our doxology.
O gracious God, you have in your own way spoken to each one of us. And there is something within us, God, that has caught the glimpse of your kingdom, your love for the world, your care and your compassion. And so we dedicate these gifts, knowing that they will find a place somewhere in this world, in the dark places, in the places others do not notice, unlocking divine mercies and your love. We thank you, Lord God, for all that we have and for all that we are. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
The hymn that we just sang talks about serving in holiness and peace. My brothers, sisters, and siblings, you are the peacemakers. You are the ones who have connected to this promise. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.